This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You are listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Shaoning and Philip. Let's get a quick update on the Bursa at 9:19 this morning.
Still in the green, fortunately, it is up very marginally though. It's up 0.02%. 0.2%. Currently index slipping below 1,500 though, 1,499 points.
We now shift our attention to the property sector in Malaysia. The performance of listed property players on Bursa has been challenging, with the KL Prop Index down 7% year to date.
The government initiatives have been present, i.e. waiver of stamp duty for first-time buyers for property costings below 500,000 and half exemption for property costings between 500k to 1 million. But is this enough with rising interest rates and high headline inflation crimping purchasing power and household income? Also, earnings delivery for developers have mostly been subdued, dragged by escalating raw material prices and labour woes.
With Budget 2023 around the corner, will there be additional incentives to lift home ownership and sentiment in the sector? For more on this, we have with us Lung Kok Wen, Senior Analyst at RHB Research. Good morning, Kok Wen. Thanks for joining us. Now, what are the key takeaways for property companies under your coverage from the recently concluded Q2 reporting? Are you expecting a better second half of the year?
Developers' earnings in the second quarter were generally stronger compared to the first quarter as property sales picked up after the rather slow period in the first quarter. And this was post the expiry of the home ownership campaign. The expiry was in December last year. Some developers actually saw slower construction activities as they were more affected by the labor shortage that happened across the sector. But RI Prop also experienced a slowdown in the China property market. Other developers, interestingly, generally saw higher property sales during the quarter. Some of them were less affected by labor shortages. But for UEM Sunrise, the earnings were lifted because of some land disposal gains and hence the higher margins. So I was saying, the property sales were quite strong in the second quarter. We think this was, partly boosted by the EPF withdrawal scheme just before the riot, and also, the further reopening of the economy. So, there was, some kind of feel-good factor during the quarter. And among all the developers that they are under my coverage, SignProp actually recorded the most outstanding property sales in the second quarter. And going into second half, we think most developers will retain a cautious view given the prevailing macroeconomic headwinds such as, inflationary pressure, rising interest rate, as well as the unstable political landscape. We think, the timing of the next general election is also the key that will affect market sentiment as well.
So, Godwin, what are the main challenges for the sector currently? I mean, are developers still grappling with labor and elevated raw material pricing? And how long do you think this will persist?
Yeah. I mean, they are still, facing the same issues, especially, the labor shortage issue, which we think, this will take some time to be resolved. But some positive thing is we started hearing from selective developers that some contractors and also developers are starting to receive some foreign workers already. Although the number of people coming in is much lesser than what they requested. So, in general, I think it will still take some time until, the construction works can progress smoothly. As for the rising building material prices, we think the contractors and developers are gradually adapting to the elevated levels. And, the reason steel bar and cement prices have also started to ease slightly. So, this should provide some relief temporarily. Of course, both labor shortage issue and expensive raw material prices would mean developers' margin will be under pressure. But I think, compared to the building material prices, labor shortage issue is now causing a bigger trouble to the sector.
So, Kokwin, how about the prospects of new pre-sales? With the recent rise in OPR by 25 bips reaching 2.5%, and expectations of more hikes, this will surely crimp the disposable income of consumers, right?
Historically, when we look at the past data, transaction volume typically falls when the average lending rate is revised up and vice versa. Essentially, this means that transaction volume or housing demand will likely fall when the central bank raises the OPR progressively over the next 1 or 2 years. So this year alone, B&M has already up the OPR by about by 75 bps, including 25 bps hike. And therefore, you know, mortgage rate will now be around 3.6 to 3.65%. Of course, you know, if the market can adapt to the higher interest rate environment supported by decent economic growth, the extent of the decline in housing demand will be more gradual. But of course, you know, we are cautious because, you know, any slip in GDP growth could worsen the drop in housing demand.
Amidst this softer backdrop, is there light at the end of the tunnel perhaps for the sector in the form of Budget 2023? What are your expectations or wish list for the sector?
We do not think the government will announce further incentives to stimulate the housing market further, as it has just announced the iMiliki initiative in July. That the scheme basically offers a 100% stamp duty exemption for first-time home buyers who purchase properties priced below 500,000, and for those between 500,000 to 1 million, the stamp duty exemption is just 50%. And this will take effect from 1st June until December next year. Although this is not exactly the same thing, we view this iMiliki scheme as a continuation of the HOC, the home ownership campaign that expired in December 2021. So, you know, really, I don't think that there will be any major incentives to be announced, but I think that there could be some incentives to encourage the use of, or the greater use of IBS, and perhaps, you know, to promote the green building developments. Yeah.
So how should investors be positioning for the sector now? I mean, what is your call and top picks for the sector?
We are still having a neutral sector rating. We think investors should be selective and stay with developers that have strong balance sheet, good cash flow, and more sustainable dividend payout as well. We generally prefer township developers and asset owners. So our top picks are, our sector picks are Matrix Concepts and ROI Prop. We think property sales in established townships should be relatively more resilient. And for ROI Prop, there are two big investment properties to be added in the portfolio in the coming 2 years, this year and next year. So this include RI City Mall Phase 2 in Putrajaya, as well as RI Central Boulevard office in Singapore. So, you know, these commercial assets should benefit from the reopening of economy.
Thanks very much, Kotwen. That was Loong Kotwen, Senior Analyst at RHB Research, capping the conversation with her top picks in the property sector.
Yeah, she liked IOI Property. When I look at Bloomberg, there's 7 buys, no holds, no sells. Consensus target price for the stock is R1.41. This morning, the stock is 99.5 cents. And like you say, this is a proxy to the regional property sector, especially if you like Singapore property. Meanwhile, her other pick, Matrix, target price R2.69. This morning, the stock is up 2 cents to R2.38, also pretty much a darling on the street. 4 buys, 1 hold, no sell. The other reason to buy Matrix is you get a nice dividend yield, according to Bloomberg, 5.65%, because this company is net cash and very much focused in Seremban in the affordable property segment.
All right. Well, it's 9:28 in the morning. We do have a quick message before we head into the 9:30 a.m. news bulletin.
A dual interest in art and gaming first led Faizal Azam Muhammad Fazil towards a career in virtual reality. And he is now an XR specialist at the Vortex XR Lab at Taylor's University. There, he is taking both students and lecturers into a different world of education through extended reality.
Tune in to Live and Learn tomorrow at 2 p.m. to find out how and why Faizal became an XR specialist and how XR is reimagining education. This show is brought to you by Taylor's University. Rise with the best, where our community is our strength.
After the 9:30 a.m. news bulletin, we have Pressing Matters, where I speak to James Gomez, the regional director of the Asia Center, about their study on youth and disinformation. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.